Welcome back, everyone, to the Higher Standards Podcast. This is episode 58. I'm Mr. Jason Roscom. With me this week is Chad.
Hey, guys. What's up?
And fresh off of his flight from, where were you, Bob? Florida?
Sunny Florida.
Sunny, nice. Sunny Florida. Yes, always traveling. Bob, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
You sound tired, man.
No, I'm fine. I'm good, actually. I'm extremely happy because... Jason.
Are you going to talk about Rally?
I'm not going to talk about it, but Jason...
Yes,
were
Bob.
You watching the Standard Open?
I was.
RCG?
You
were.
I was, yes.
What happened, Jason? What happened not 15, less than 15 minutes ago?
Oh, Rally won the Open.
That's right. Rally won the Open. Jason, have we talked about that deck? Have
I
we
think
talked
so.
About the intricacies of that deck?
I think so. I think we've mentioned it.
We
time
have.
Or two on
all
the
right.
Show.
Well, yeah. I won't go back into it then. I mean, it's self-evident with its victory and you know how many people play. We don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we will talk about it, but at first, I just want to remind everybody again. If you're listening to us on MTGCast, that's great. Definitely support those guys and all the podcasts on there. But we also have our own channel on whatever podcasting app you have, be it iTunes. I don't know. What podcasting apps do Android phones use?
I don't know. I'm not a communist, so I don't have one.
Yeah, me either. I've bowed down to our Apple overlords, so I don't really know.
It's, you know, resistance is futile. It's just easier to be assimilated.
Exactly. So whatever you do listen to podcasts on, you can check out the Higher Standards channel on there and subscribe to us, download from there, just so we have a good feel for how many people are listening to us outside of MTGCast. But again, go check them out too. We've got a lot of friends on there who have their own podcasts. I'm partial to Midwest Magic, Cast from Exile. You know, I've kind of gotten away from listening to Monday Night Magic lately.
I don't listen to any other podcasts. That's a lie.
I like Judge Cast. Judge Cast is pretty cool.
Yeah. Bob's an elitist.
No. I do listen to like a few, but not a lot. I mean, okay. I don't even listen to ours.
Yeah, and speaking of other podcasts, I did want to give just a quick shout-out to the MTG Goldfish podcast. I don't think they're on MTGCast. You'd have to search them for them on their own channel, but they're another finance podcast, and they're really good. I've been listening to them for about a month and a half now, and I'm really enjoying them. So if you're not listening to us, check them out because they're a good show as well. Chad, what else we got as far as reminders this week?
We have the Twitch channel. If this is the first time you're listening to us, each week when we record, we try and also stream. Usually it's only if we don't, it's due to me not being there.
Yeah.
But when we stream, we're on twitch.tv/dr4g3n. That is my handle and I'm sticking with it. I think we're going to be pushing forward. We got 44 people last week. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Just to hear our voices and see our stupid faces. I mean, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, very true. So, and also one other reminder, we also have a closed Facebook group. So if you want to get on there and join in on all of our discussions that we have, and we have some interesting discussions. We had quite a colorful one today, actually. But, yeah, just search Higher Standards on Facebook, request to join the group, and then one of us will add you if we deem you worthy enough.
Wow.
Now who's the elitist, right?
You are a jerk.
Yeah. Oh, well, just read the Facebook page. You'll see all about that. But anyway, first thing we want to do this week is something we haven't done in quite a while, actually, and something I kind of want to get back into. We're going to go over a listener deck list. This is something we haven't done in months. So, Chad, what do we have this week?
Yes, we have a deck list from Joseph Andre Bouchard. If I butchered your name, then just send it in the Higher Standards Facebook. He is from Alberta, Canada, and he's running a mono-white enchantments deck. So enchantments is something that we haven't seen for a while, I believe, since the Theros rotation.
Probably.
But he's running 4 Citadel Siege, 4 Mastery of the Unseen, 4 Myth Realize, Jason's old card.
Oh, yeah.
4 Pacifism. That's a card that I don't think can ever get old.
No.
3
no.
Quarantine Field, 4 Sigil of the Empty Throne, 4 Silk Wrap, 4 Starfield of Nyx, and 4 Stasis Snare. For lands, he's running 2 Blighted Step, which is the white that you pay 3 and a white, tap it, sacrifice it, and you gain 2 life for each creature you control, and 23 planes. In the board, running 4 Russian Cleric, because aggro's everywhere and it's very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
2 Light Form, which we'll touch back on. 2 Planar Outburst, 1 more Quarantine Field, 3 Suppression Bonds, and 3 Surge of Righteousness. So for those that are listening, there's probably a lot of cards that I just went through that you don't either even remember or it doesn't.
Or it's like, that card's in Standard? What?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't trigger your memory. As soon as I saw Starfield of Nyx, I was like, is that Theros? But no, it is in fact Magic Origins. Yeah. It's one of those throwbacks to each of the multiverses planes.
Yep.
And it's probably the best card in this deck.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of turns it on. It's one of the finishers. I would imagine that the finishers are Mithrealize and then Starfield. But Mithrealize triggers on every other enchantment that he casts. And yes, that's all his deck is. 35 enchantments, 25 lands. In a world of 3, 4, and 5 color decks, he's keeping it simple, keeping it one color. And I like this deck. This deck looks fun. And I just want to mention, too, that he 5-0'd his FNM this last Friday. He said he beat a Black White Warriors, he beat a couple of Blue Red Prowess, and a couple of Abzan decks. Nice. So, not too shabby. And he went 5-0 at his FNM.
This is definitely a deck I would enjoy playing.
What happens when I cast Back to Nature on this deck?
I don't think Back to Nature is legal.
Standard?
Whatever. Don't bother me with details. The question wasn't whether it was legal.
Okay, well, then to answer your question, then he just scoops up his cards.
Oh, okay. But, all right. Gotcha.
He goes, who's actually running that card? And then he leaves.
Yeah.
Actually, the correct response to that card being played would be Judge.
Yeah, that is very true. So, yeah, this deck looks like a lot of fun. This looks like something I would sleeve up and play. Maybe at another FNM, just because it looks like a lot of fun. I've played Starfield decks in the past. In fact, I tried to play one at
It was an open.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Higher Standards Open. Yeah, I tried to play something like that there. So, yeah, it's not outside of my realm of decks I would be willing to give a shot to. So, Bob, any thoughts on this beyond the Back to Nature?
No. I mean, the deck's actually cool. It's there's not a lot of enchantment hate in the format right now.
No, not really.
It's really kind of funny. I really thought last week when I was at the SCG Open that I would see like a couple of tutelage decks, and I'm surprised I saw one. But you know, with Rally, tutelage is not well positioned. But in general, there's not a lot that deals with them. You know,
yeah,
Utter End, like
that's it. And even if a deck runs that, they're running maybe one in the main, if that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I put a link to this deck list in the show notes. So if you want to check it out and maybe play it, by all means do so, and give a shout out to Joseph for his unique list.
Yeah, and for those that remember what I said, Lifeform is one colorless and 2 white, an enchantment, and when Lifeform enters battlefield, you manifest. And it becomes an aura attached to the manifest creature that gives it flying and lifelink.
Nice. Yeah, it's another one of those cards that you kind of forget about is even in the format.
Yeah.
All right, so before we hop into the Star City Open in Columbus, I just wanted to talk about what I did over the weekend. If you're not on the Facebook group, you didn't see this, but I played at a local PPTQ over at a place that's not Gamers Vault, so we won't even give them free advertising here. But it was a 40-player PBTQ, and I took Abzan Blue, which was pretty much the deck that Willie Porges played last week. He made 8th place at the Star City Open. I made a few tweaks to the sideboard, and if you want to see those, you can hop into the Facebook group, because that's where I posted them. But, yeah, I decided to go ahead and take that because it felt like it was a solid deck, seemed very well positioned against the Rally decks. So if you guys will bear with me, I'll kind of talk about how I did. I started off with a loss to Atarka Red in round 1. I lost 0-2, and it was never close. The guy just got ahead way too fast. And this is the new Atarka Red, the one that's splashing the black for the sideboard cards, and is going wider and is not using the combo. So I just got crushed by that one. So I'm sitting here thinking, oh boy, it's going to be like another 0-2 drop day for me. I move into round 2, and I'm playing against Esper Dragons. And it's funny because this deck is actually belonged to my good friend Bernard, who I'll talk about a little bit later. He loaned it to this other guy. I can't remember the kid's name, but I played the kid in round 2, and I lost game 1. So at this point, I'm feeling really crappy about myself because I lost 0-2 in round 1, lost the first game in round 2. I'm like, well, this is how my day's going to end. Got to a board state in game 2 where my opponent had an Obnixilus and a Flip Jace online. and I had no board presence whatsoever, just a bunch of lands and a few cards in hand. And at this point, I had considered scooping. I'm like, there's no way I can come back from this. And then I just happened to top deck like a Painful Truths. Drew a bunch of cards, was able to get some kind of a board presence. I was able, and then two turns later, I had both of his Planeswalkers dead, and I had a Siege Rhino and a Tasker on the field, and I ended up taking that game too, which I was shocked I was able to come back from that. And then I ended up winning game three, and I took that match. So I was 1-1 at this point. I went on to face Jeskai Black in round three, and this was the Jerry Thompson list that just draws a crap load of cards and runs a crap load of removal. I beat that guy in three games. We went to time, and I beat him in turns. Round four, I played a green-red Eldrazi list. This was the Aliyah Entrazi list that was running Sylvan Advocates and four Worldbreakers, and I got pretty lucky against him. I won the dice roll, beat him game one. He beat me game two, and then I just barely squeaked it out in game three. I got a very aggressive hand, and I was able to take him down. Next round, round five. Okay, this was a really important round for me because I played against a guy who I played against at the last SCG States, I think it was, at the same store. Guy was a real asshole to me last time I played him. He was very condescending, very like, oh, there's no way you can win. I've got this round. There's no way your deck can beat my deck kind of thing. And he did beat me that time. And, it made me feel like crap because of the way he talked to me, the way he treated me. And I beat him, and he was so frustrated because I had the main deck counter magic, the Stubborn Denials in the main, and then more counter magic from the sideboard. And every time he went to go do something like a murderous cut my Siege Rhino, or went to go cast a Dig Through Time, and I would either Stubborn Denial or Dispel or Disdainful Stroke, he would kind of like slam the table, and he was getting all upset. He's like, God, he had another counter spell. Oh my God. He was getting really upset. So I beat him. That felt pretty good. And then I had to play the last round because my tiebreakers were kind of crappy, because I guess all the people I'd played in earlier rounds ended up dropping. So while most people that were 4-1 at this point drew in, I had to play to get in. So I played the Abzan Mirror. This guy was playing just a straight up 3-color Abzan, and I beat him in two games. And I ended up as the top seed after the 6 rounds of Swiss. And what was even funnier was my good friend Bernard, who we talked about a lot on this show, he was the number 2 seed playing a deck that I loaned him. He was playing the Atarka Red with the Black Splash. I loaned him every single one of the cards for that deck. So in this 40-person PPTQ, two decks that belonged to me were the first and second seeds nice. At the end of Swiss. So I thought that was that was pretty cool. Moved into the semi or the quarterfinals as the number 1 seed. We were on the play draw rule, and I got to choose to play every round. And I played against Atarka Red, the exact same Atarka Red list this time. But I was on the play, and I got some very fortunate draws. Again, very aggressive. I was able to solidify my board states, and I beat the guy in two games. So I moved on to the semifinals, and this is where our story takes a turn for the worse. I'm playing against another just straight 3-color Abzan, like just a normal Abzan aggro or whatever you want to call them list. Game one, I kept a decent 7, and it had 3 lands, and I never saw a 4th land in the whole game. Had things like Siege Rhino in hand, a lot of removal, if I could have just gotten to the 4th and 5th lands, I could have played 2 spells per turn, I could have kept up with the tempo. Unfortunately, I missed my 3rd land drop. Game 2, it was kind of close, but I ended up just solidifying and just taking the guy down. Game 3 was probably one of the closest, best games of Magic I've ever played. We were going back and forth the whole time. It was one of us would cast a threat, the other guy would answer. It'd be like Siege Rhino battles and Gideon battles. And we got to a point where neither of us had anything on board or anything in hand. And my opponent top decks a Siege Rhino, plays it. I top deck lands for the next 3 turns, and he ends up killing me.
Ouch.
So it was a somewhat disappointing end to the day, but I mean, I felt really good. I placed 3rd overall was my final ranking out of a 40-person PPTQ. And like all the big local grinders that played all of these local events, played all the Star City events, were all there. A couple guys that have played on the Pro Tour. So I felt pretty good finishing third overall.
Wait, you said our story took a turn for the worse.
Right, because I lost.
Yeah, but not for that guy. For that guy.
Oh, well, yeah, no.
Better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all a matter of perspective, really.
That is true. That is true. and as far as Bernard goes, he also won his quarterfinal match and also lost in the semifinals to a rally list. And the finals ended up being the rally list that beat him and the abs-in list that beat me. And I didn't stick around to see who won it. But I won $100, so that was pretty nice.
Cool.
And it was so weird too, because there was that point in game two and round two where I was like ready to scoop and just walk away and just go home angry. And it's a good thing I didn't, because I ended up coming back, winning that match and doing as well as I did.
Nice. Very nice. Did you have so what kind of preparation did you do for this?
It's funny because I threw the deck together on Friday, 2 days ago. And the only testing I did was FNM the night before. I went 3-1 on that night. My only loss coming again to Atarka Red, because I can't seem to beat that match unless it's in the top eight for some reason. But yeah, the only testing I got was the four rounds of FNM Friday night, and then I took it on Saturday, and that was it. So I felt like the deck was really again well tuned for the rally matchup. But I didn't play rally. Didn't play it at FNM. Didn't play it at the PPTQ, and it was there. I saw a lot of people playing rally there, but I just avoided it for better or worse.
Nice. Yeah, it goes to show, like, listening to the podcasts and keeping up with the metagame that goes on around your local area or on the Star City fields, mm-hmm. you can put a deck together. I'm not going to say that you know exactly how the deck plays, because that comes to the skill of how you are with Magic, but yeah. It definitely attests to how you can decipher what you're going to play against and what you expect to see them draw.
Yeah, for sure. And just a couple of things that I noticed playing the deck throughout the weekend. I hate to admit this, but Oath of Nissa was not nearly as good as I had hoped it would be.
You and several other people have told me that.
Yeah, I mean, I, of all people, was real big on Oath of Nissa when it was spoiled. I talked about it. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk it up like it's the second coming of Jesus. But, in practice, not so much. If I continue to play some version of Abzan in the future, it's probably going to be without Oath of Nissa. I think Oath of Nissa gets better at rotation when mana bases aren't so good. When you really do need to fix your mana better, then I think it does get better at that point. But right now, it's not necessary. Like, I would have much rather had Abzan Charms or a fourth Gideon or something else in that spot. So, yeah, Oath of Nissa was not nearly as good as I'd hoped it would be. At least not in this build.
Okay. I could see it being a problem considering that you're running Wardens as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, with this deck, you want to hit turn one Warden. There's very few instances where you don't want to hit a turn one Warden. So, and then another thing I noticed about this deck is, yes, the blue kind of helps it with the rally matchup, but otherwise, the blue didn't do a whole lot for me. I mean, there was the one round where I played against a control player where it helped me, like, counter his counter magic or counter his removal spells.
Yeah.
But overall, I think I still would have rather just been a straight-up Abzan list, not splashing the blue. In fact, I took some of the blue cards out of the sideboard. Like, I wasn't playing Jace's like Willie was playing last week, and I wasn't playing my favorite card, Ojitai's Command. I went with a lot less blue in the sideboard.
With as prevalent as Reflector Mages, getting a Jace bounced on curve on the draw is backbreaking.
Yeah, now that was the one thing that I did like. Reflector Mage was freaking awesome in this deck. So if I do continue to play Abzan, it may be without the counter magic in the main board, but yeah, Reflector Mage is staying. That God, that card is so good. That's insane. Like, I can't even. And we'll get into it too as we look at the Star City results. How many Reflector Mages were actually in the top eight?
We have a question from MTG Bobby. Did you ever whiff when you played Oath?
No, I never whiffed, but I did get some rather undesirable draws sometimes. Like, there'd be a time where I'd cast it and I'd hope maybe I could pull a Siege Rhino or something, and it would end up being like a Warden on turn five or six. Like, yeah, I guess that's all right. Or sometimes I think I can remember once I had to take a land. I think I flipped three lands. I'm like, I'll take this land.
Yeah.
But I mean, I never whiffed. I never cast it and could not put something into my hand. It's just sometimes it was just kind of like, that card was not that great.
Gotcha.
So, Do you guys have any questions about the PPTQ? Anything I saw there? Or?
So for those of us that don't have the knowledge of the PPTQ, maybe they just started playing Magic or they just want to get into the competitive realm, what does a PPTQ do going forward? Like, okay. if you were to win?
It's a good question, yeah, because some people may not know, or you know, some people don't play at a competitive level like that, but PPTQs are now your first step towards playing on the Pro Tour.
Okay.
What they used to have was just something, an event called a Pro Tour Qualifier, which was one massive tournament that a bunch of people went to, and if you won it, you got a spot on the Pro Tour. But because those were getting so big, they were becoming hundreds and hundreds of players, they felt that they wanted to kind of break that down a little more. So the preliminary Pro Tour qualifiers, the PPTQs, are more numerous events that each store can run at least one of per season, right, Bob? Is it one or more than one?
You can run more than one, I believe.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they run these preliminary Pro Tour qualifiers. If you win that, that qualifies you for a regional Pro Tour qualifier. And if you make top eight at a regional, then you get a spot on the Pro Tour. Okay. And the regionals are multi-state. Like, I think the regional in our area, there was one in Philly for like the whole Northeast, maybe one in New York also. But it's not like one per state. It's one per group of states.
Gotcha.
I'm sure it's based on population and everything else. But, yeah, that's how you get a spot on the Pro Tour. So the first piece of that puzzle is winning a PPTQ. And because there's so many of those now, I think it's to everybody's benefit to play in as many of those as you can until you can win one.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm planning on playing in every local one that I can get to for the next few months.
Nice.
And, of course, I'd have played in another one had Gamers Vault not decided to run theirs the same day we get 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Actually, we didn't run it. It's being rescheduled.
Oh, right. That's what
try to keep up, okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, all right.
All right, so if that's all we have for that topic, let's move on to the Star City Open, which was in Columbus, Ohio, yes?
Yes, it was.
All right. And a good friend of the show was there, James Andrew Tennant. He's a big player on the Facebook group and a guy who's been with us pretty much since the beginning. I think he went 5-4 on day one, and he said he lost to a lot of decks that played Goblin Dark Dwellers. He said he saw a lot of those on day one. So something to keep an eye on. But, Bob, what won this whole thing? Just to remind everybody, if they've forgotten.
I don't know if you were over my house, you could... What's that? It smells like victory. That's what it smells like. That's what that is. I thought it was my wife's cooking, but it's definitely victory.
Okay.
So, Jacob Bob brought the whole thing down with Four Color Rally. He's playing 28 creatures, 2 Catacomb Sifter, 2 Elvish Visionary, 2 Grim Horror Specs, 3 Nantuko Husk, 4 Reflector Mage, 3 Sidisi's Faithful, 4 Zulaport Cutthroat, 3 Aili the Eternal Pilgrim, 4 Jace Friends Prodigy, 1 Liliana Heretical Healer. He's got the split 4-4 Collected Company and Rally Ancestors, 24 lands, nothing really out of the ordinary. In the sideboard, he's playing 3 Irration Cleric, 1 Felidar Cub, 2 Fleshbag Marauders, 2 Murderous Cuts, 2 Anafens of the Foremost, 1 Kalatash Trader of Get, 1 other Liliana Heretical Healer, and 3 Duress. This is almost damn near close to the list I played last week. It plays 4 Reflector Mages. I only played 2. Yeah. And he cut Sifter and Elvish Visionary and Grim Horror Specs. And he added a 3rd Aili. Liliana's a house in this deck.
Did you play her last week?
I did. Okay. And I know a lot of decks, week one did not run her.
Right.
But I was never upset to have her on board. She's just great. Particularly because your creatures are all cheap. So you can almost get her out and you can immediately bring something back if you want to.
Okay.
And bringing a Reflector Mage back from the graveyard is pretty gross.
Yeah, jeez. What are your thoughts on them running Kalidas in the sideboard?
I ran one.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was great. It's just another Anafenza. It doesn't get hit by Collected Company, and, you know, I get that. You could rally it back if you wanted to. It's a little
bit expensive to rally it back, yeah.
Only one more. I mean, you'd be surprised how often I found myself with, like, 5-6 mana, you know?
Yeah.
So, I was happy to have him, you know. Funny enough, there were games when I played with him where the 2/4 lifelink was very relevant because I would play like these Mardu tokens decks and, you know, they'd have, 2/2 creatures with prowess or 1/2 creatures with prowess. And it's like, well, Kalidas is stops that pretty cold unless you're casting two spells a turn.
Yeah, that's very true.
So,
all right. So second place was a deck that got a lot of hype, a lot of excitement over the weekend, Chad. So what do we got?
Yeah, Andy Ferguson in second place playing Bant Company. He's running 25 creatures, 4 Bounding Crosses. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
4 Deathmiss Raptor, 4 Den Protector, 4 Reflector Mage. We're seeing that everywhere. This is not going to stop. 4 Sylvan Advocate. Jason's always been on the back of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
1 Warden of the First Tree, 4 Jace Varin's Prodigy. Spells, we've got 4 Collected Company, 4 Dromoka's Command, and 2 Ojutai's Command.
Woohoo!
In lands, we've got 4. Yes, I said 4 Lumbering Falls. So I think
nobody plays that card.
That's pretty interesting.
What are you talking about?
In the sideboard, we've got 4 Ration Cleric, 2 Frostwalker, 1 Harbinger of the Tides, 1 Silkwrap, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 3 Dispel, and 1 Valorous Stance. So a pretty interesting sideboard to be able to tech into. So back to Bounding Crosses. It is 1 colorless, 1 green, 1 blue. It's an uncommon from Magic Origins, a 3/3 fish lizard that has flash, and when Bounding Crosses enters the battlefield, you may tap or untap target creatures. So very good for defense, very good for attacking.
Yeah, and as I was watching this guy play on camera a lot over the weekend, and he would never tap out when he had 3 and 4 lands online, because he was always saving the 3 for a Bounding Crosses and always saving the 4 for a Collected Company.
Yep, well, it's a giant, it's a pretty rough, tempo hit too. If you play Bounding Crassus, you know what? Actually, you saw it in the last match. You saw Andy's opponent not go in for an Alpha Strike with all his creatures because Andy had mana open and he had a Liliana online and he didn't want it just getting ganked by, you know, leaving one creature back and it getting Bounding Crassus down and then just killed.
Yeah. Nice.
I want to make one point about this deck too. With the exception of the lands and Warden of the First Tree, nothing else, that you don't lose anything else in this deck, at rotation in April.
Nope.
All the rest of these cards are still around. So, this could be something to keep an eye on, possibly something to buy into. If you like the style of deck, it's gonna be around for at least another 9 months.
And let me just say that Collected Company is a gross card on its own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everybody looks to get, like, build decks with value cards and, you know, all these, Goblin Dark Dwellers get you a free 3-drop. It turns out almost the most efficient thing to be doing on turn 4 is casting Collected Company.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's a reason why it's made such a good translation into Modern. That's why it's kind of like the de facto birthing pod replacement, because it's just that good.
For sure.
So, all right, moving into third place, we've got, an Abzan Blue List. But if I'm not mistaken, yes, the link is still broken.
Aww.
So Jacob Rupp was third place with Abzan Blue, but as of right now, Sunday night at 8:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the link for that deck list is broken. But I have a feeling it's pretty close to what I played this week, and it's pretty close to Willie's deck from last week. So if you want to see a good Abzan Blue list, just go look at the top 8 of the Star City from the week prior. And you'll see that. And we've got some other... Oh, and actually, Willie made 10th place at this event, too. So it's probably very similar to his list. Anyway, with that being said, we had the boss in 4th place. Bob, what was he playing?
He was playing Red-Black Dragons. 4 Hangerback Walker, 3 Flamewake Phoenix, 4 Thopter Engineer, 4 Thunderbreak Regent, 4 Kolaghan the Storm's Fury, 2 P and Kirin Alar, 4 Draconic Roar, 2 Fiery Impulse, 3 Grasp of Darkness, 2 Murders, Cut 2 Duress, 26 lands, 3 Haven of the Spirit Dragon. I like this list. I like this list for a couple of reasons. One, I was never a fan of Hordling Outburst in this list.
Right.
You know, it just kind of, I get it. It combos well with Kolaghan, you know, but it just seemed like turn 3 is such a weird turn for this list because you're casting a Hordling Outburst, which when it's good is great, but when it's not good, it's horrible. Or Flamewake Phoenix, also when it's good, it's great, but when it's not good, it's a 2/2, you know?
Yeah.
Tom Ross took a little different take. He's got 4 Hangerback Walkers, and he's got 4 Thopter Engineers.
Yeah.
So, you know, this list goes turn 3 Thopter Engineer, turn 4 2/2 Hangerback Walker with haste. You know, or turn 4 P and Kirin Nalar with 2 other 1/1s with haste that are flying.
I saw that happen a lot. I saw a Thopter Engineer followed by P and Kirin a lot.
And P and Kirin just give this deck a little bit more reach. This deck has a lot of it has a lot of creatures with evasion, but if you can stop those with like a Hangerback Walker of your own, it's very, very difficult to actually get the last couple points of damage out, and Peeing Cure and Nalard kind of help the deck get there. Also, the deck plays 26 lands. So variants of this deck have played 24 or 25. All I can tell you from playing this deck is this is a deck that wants to make land drop number 4 and 5, and it wants to make it consistently.
Yeah.
And so I think 26 is probably closer to the right number, maybe 25.
Because you think about their curve, right? So you probably want to go turn 1, hold up a land, maybe cast a Fiery Impulse if they drop something early. Turn 2, same thing. Kill something else with either a Draconic Roar or Grasp of Darkness, and then just start getting aggressive. Like turn 3, Thopter Engineer, turn 4, Peeing Cure, and then turn 5, Kolaghan, and then you're just attacking for a crap load of damage.
I mean, the deck, and it also plays Draconic Roar, which right now I think is very, very good.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Manus Riders running around. You know, everything in a rally deck has dies to 3 damage. And, you know, while you may say, well, so what? It goes into the graveyard. If the rally deck doesn't have enough time to deploy its game plan, you know, if you can just keep hammering them with damage, they die long before they can start cutthroating you out.
Yep.
This deck can certainly do it.
Very true. Yeah, and they can't really deal with flyers, right? The rally decks?
No, they hate flyers.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a version I saw played, and I did see some articles that had this on there. I forget who, that had, instead of Elvish Visionaries, had, Palace Familiars, the 1/1 blue flyer that when it dies you draw a card for one in the blue. Mm-hmm. And it was basically there to just chump block flyers because the deck's got a big, big problem with flyers.
Right. So yeah, it seems pretty solid. And congrats to Tom Ross, though he won a couple of squeakers that he maybe shouldn't have won, but hey, he still made it 4th place. There's a reason why he's such a good player. Moving on to 5th, Bob, I still had you slated to talk about this list. We can all kind of go over it as a collective, though.
Okay.
A slightly different take on Collected Company.
Yeah, so 4 Elfish Visionaries, 3 Grim Haruspex, 3 Nantuko Husk, 4 Reflector Mages, 4 Sidisi's Faithful, 3 Zulaport Cutthroats, 1 Aili the Eternal Pilgrim, 4 Jace Verin's Prodigy, 2 Liliana Heretical Heroes, 23 lands. Yee, 23.
Yeah.
4 Collected Company, 1 Murderous Cut, 3 Rally the Ancestors, and a Bring to Light. And then in the sideboard, he's got 2 Irration Clerics, a Felidar Club, a Fleshbag Marauder, a Merciless Executioner, a Minister of Pain. Love that card.
Yeah.
A Netcaster Spider. That's actually pretty cool. 2 Abzan Ascendancy for the control matchup, 3 Dispels, 1 Murderous Cut, and 2 Duress. So this is a Rally deck. The main deck, Murderous Cut's fine, I think.
But yeah.
The Bring to Light, I mean, with 23 lands, that is weird. I mean, that's ballsy. That's like, I mean, I get it. I get why it's there. Sometimes you want an Nantuko Husk, okay? And you need it, and that gets it for you. Sometimes you want a Cutthroat, you need it, and that gets it for you. Like, sometimes you want a Reflector Mage. So I get why it's in there, but with 23 lands, that is ballsy.
That seems tough. I mean, Chad, what do you think? You're our resident Bring to Light player.
Yeah, I'm behind Bob on this. I feel like the other Bring to Light should just be another Rally or Zulaport. Just smash the high numbers and you'll get them eventually. Why spend time trying to build around one card that can get you another when you can put the right amount of cards in the other spots?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's Jace, so you could Bring to Light twice. And if you look at his sideboard, it's a little more toolbox-like. There's a lot of one-ofs, mm-hmm. so one assumes that he's hoping to just use Bring to Light to go get that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do to get, you know, whatever card he feels he needs. He's got a net. So Netcaster Spider.
is that the answer to the flyer problem?
Yeah,
that we just
no,
talked about?
Actually, it's not a bad answer. I mean, when Netcaster Spider blocks a creature with flying, Netcaster Spider gets +2/+0 until end of turn. It's a 2/3 with reach. I mean, think about this. So that kills tokens right there.
Yes.
I mean, that just blanks tokens, yep. But it also kills a Thunderbreak Regent.
Yep.
And you
Kolaghan.
Can find it with, you can, yeah. Does it? Yeah, he's a 5/4, kills Kolaghan, and you can find it with Collected Company.
That
actually,
is true.
I think that's a great sideboard tech.
Wow. All right. Unfortunately, it only 1-for-1 trades with like Manus Rider, but I mean, you're still getting some decent value, especially like we said, like Kolaghan, Thunderbreak Regent.
But here's the thing: you can rally it back as a chump blocker.
That is true.
Listen, you laugh. You have no idea how many times I rallied back, like, at one or the two spot for chump, for like, you know, chump blockers like Sidisi's Faithfuls or an Eile. Mm-hmm. Just because if I could chump block, I could clear their board and buy myself more time.
Yeah. All right. So keep an eye on Netcaster Spider. Maybe that's the answer for the one minor problem that rally decks seem to have. Next is sixth place, Raja Suleiman with black-white control. I've always really enjoyed decks like this, so I'm going to go ahead and cover this because it's a black-white colorless control, if you really think about it. So he's got eight creatures. He's got four Matter Reshapers, which is one of the new Eldrazi. He's got four Seeker of the Ways. He's got seven Planeswalkers, four Gideon Ally of Zendikar, two Obnixilus Reignited, and one Soren Solemn Visitor. For spells, he's got four Silk Wraps, three Stasis Snares, three Secure the Wastes, one Spatial Contortion, one Utter End, two Duress, four Read the Bones, very interesting, and one Ruinous Path. In the sideboard, he's got a couple Cranial Archives, I wonder why those are in there, two Irration Clerics. Bob Jazz, what to say?
No, you know, I've been saying for a long time, I think Cranial Archive is a sideboard, is playable in the sideboard, and people laugh at me, but listen, man, Cranial Archive in response to a rally is pretty gross.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to draw a card off.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on down the sideboard, he's got three Thought-Knot Seers, which I like to see that, one Wasteland Strangler, two Hallowed Moonlight, again, I wonder what that's for, one Murderous Cut, one more Obnixilus, one Duress, one Flaying Tendrils, and one Planar Outburst. He's got 26 lands. Some notable lands is he's got the four Caves of Koilos and two Battlefield Forge. So dual lands with the colorless mana producing ability. He's mm-hmm. also got two Foundry of the Consoles, which produces a colorless, or you can sacrifice it and get, what, 2/1/1 Thopter tokens?
Yes.
Five and tap it to sack it.
Yep. And then also a singleton Llanowar Wastes, again, black source that you can also tap for colorless, and then two Seagate Wreckages. So he's kind of like the Esper tokens list almost, but
yeah, this list, wow, this list is really cool. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing in this list?
Yes, Matter Reshaper.
Well, Matter Reshaper into all of most,
yes,
like 70% of his removal package is enchantments, so you can Matter Reshaper into Silk Wraps and Stasis Snares. That is sweet.
Yeah, and
that's very nice.
Oh, the only problem with that is that it's, it's a may. You may put that card onto the battlefield. Okay, so say your opponent doesn't have a creature out.
Yeah, you just get a piece of removal for when they do have a creature out.
Draw for free.
Wow, that's, I like this. I think this is where we may see some of these black-based Eldrazi lists going into more of a control-y build. Four Read the Bones is interesting. I mean, he's got the ability to cast Painful Truths with a bunch of different colors.
Yeah, but this deck, if you look at the removal suite, it's got some one-ofs, mm-hmm. you know, and two-ofs. So, and then you've got, you know, some Planeswalkers in here. I just think, you know, Read the Bones is more card selection than card draw.
Yeah.
And so I just think sometimes you want a certain answer at a certain time, and Read the Bones gets you there more than sometimes Painful Truth does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some rare cases, you could actually set up your Matter Reshaper with Read the Bones for like, okay, I'll block with him this turn, and I'll flip this card on the Matter Reshaper. Okay. All right. Yeah. Looks like a fun deck. This is another one that I would love to try out. I may have to build this online, actually. That's what I'm thinking. I think I might play this online. But yeah, Raja Suleiman with black-white controls. What was this, sixth place? Yeah.
Yep.
Good deck. All right. What do we have in seventh place?
Moving on, we have Andrew Tenjum playing Jeskai Black. So this is where those Goblin Dark Dwellers were hiding. We've got two Goblin Dark Dwellers, four Mantis Rider, two Reflector Mage, four Seeker of the Way, and four Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Two Chandra Flamecaller. We haven't seen that too much very often, but it is increasing in price, so keep an eye on her. We've got four Crackling Doom, two Dig Through Time, two Dispel, four Fiery Impulse, and four Jeskai Charm. In the board, in the lands, we've got four Wandering Fumarole and two Evolving Wilds of note. And in the board, we've got three Soulfire Grandmaster, two Disdainful Stroke, three Kozilek's Return, two Negate, two Roast, and three Self-Inflicted Wound. So this is all about getting those Goblin Dark Dwellers to deal either Crackling Doom when it comes out, or the Jeskai Charm for the burn to the face.
Yeah. Another deck that just looks solid. Looks like a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, and Andrew, I played Andrew last week, and he was on the like Jeskai Burn list.
Mm-hmm.
But the shell of it with Dark Dwellers and Jeskai Charm, where it was in here along with the Manus Riders. So it looks like they just kind of streamlined it a little bit. Looks like a really fun list.
Yeah.
Andrew Tenjum traveled and was on the same team as the first place player. So they both did very well in this tournament.
Oh, yeah. Good. And I looking at this list, there's one thing that kind of sticks out at me. The fact that he's not playing any Kolaghan's commands. And now, call me crazy, but I would love to be able to play a Reflector Mage, have him die in combat, and then Kolaghan's command him back to my hand, and then play him again later. Is that just asking too much?
No.
Or Goblin Dark Dwellers hitting the Kolaghan's command that's in your graveyard, bringing back your Reflector Mage.
I really think that in this, because he's only got two in here, it's a tempo hit, so this deck, to me, at least the way I look at it, this deck wants to just deal out a massive amount of damage, and the Jeskai Charms are kind of in there to go over the top and just, you know, kill you.
Right.
And finish you off. And, you know, Dark Dwellers, it's only a two of, so basically it's there to just get your second Jeskai Charm. You know, like, okay, it's turn five, you've got four life left, you finally got a board presence, I can't get through, but I can play Dark Dwellers and hit you for the last four.
Yep.
You know, also, I mean, Chandra, kind of same thing.
Yeah. And she's been seeing some decent amount of play since she came out. A lot more than Nissa. Yeah, a lot more than Nissa, that's for sure.
She's gross.
Yep, so keep an eye out on her. And she's still only around $10, which is kind of surprising.
I think she's at 16 right now.
Oh, well, she had dipped just a little bit below 10 for a little while there.
Yeah, she's sitting at 16 on Goldfish at the moment.
Oh, man. Hope you guys got yours.
I'm good.
All right, so that was 7th place. In 8th place, we had what?
We have Mardu Tokens. Oh, wow, this is cool. This is like a blast from the past, man. All right, 2 Butcher of the Horde, my man. 1 Monastery Mentor, 4 Seeker of the Way, 3 Kolaghan's Storm's Fury. So far, we're basically playing Khan's Block. All right.
Yeah, cool. This is like circa April 2015.
Yeah, this is awesome. 4 Gideon Allies, Endicar, 1 Soren Solemn Visitor, 4 Crackling Doom, 4 Fiery Impulse, 1 Murderous Cup, 1 Secure the Waste, 4 Dragon Fodder, 4 Hordling Outburst, 2 Painful Truths, 25 lands. He's playing 2 Needle Spires, and 3 Shambling Vents. In his sideboard, he's got another Butcher of the Horde, 2 Hollow Moonlights, 3 Anafenza, 1 Soren, 3 Radiant Flames, 2 Self-Inflicted Wounds, and 3 Transgress the Mind. This is really cool. Man, I always loved Butcher of the Horde. I thought that was a really
yeah.
cool card.
I miss the days of Hordling Outburst into Butcher on the next turn.
It was great. Sacrifice for a Hasting Lifelink 5/4 flying. Yeah. Great.
And this is just straight up Mardu colors, right? No green or blue splash?
Nope.
All right. Looks good.
Not messing around.
Yeah, good to see Butcher getting a little bit of play before he rotates out here in a couple months.
Yes.
This is just like one, like tap land, 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop, 5-drop. Like, that's what this deck is. This is cool.
Same solid.
Yeah.
All right. And then I wanted to talk about the 9th place list because we didn't cover this last week, but in the top 32, there were a few Mardu green lists that made top 32. None of them made top 8, but there's been a lot of buzz about these decks. A lot of people I know locally have been looking at this deck and been hearing some buzz about it internationally too. So I want to go ahead and cover this list real quick. So this is 9th place Boris Pan playing Mardu Green. He's running 12 creatures, 3 Goblin Dark Dwellers. We've been talking about him a bit. 4 Siege Rhino.
Nice.
3 Soulfire Grandmaster. And 2 Kalidas Trader of Get. So an interesting creature package already. Then we've got 1 Chandra Flamecaller. We just talked about her. Then for the spells, this is where it gets really good. 3 Abzan Charm. 4 Crackling Doom. 4 Fiery Impulse. 2 Kolaghan's Command. Yes. 2 Murderous Cut, 2 Duress, 1 Read the Bones, a lot of Read the Bones this week, 2 Roast, and 1 Ruinous Path. In the sideboard, he's running 1 Virulent Plague, 3 Hallowed Moonlight, 1 Utter End, 3 Anafenza of the Foremost, 1 more Chandra Flamecaller, 1 Obnixilus Reignited, 1 Duress, 2 Radiant Flames, and 2 Transgress the Mines. So, yeah, this just looks like a big good stuff deck.
Yeah.
Pretty much. This is not a deck the kind of deck I enjoy playing. It just seems like we took all the really good cards, mashed them together. And, I mean, you can. The mana bases allow for it. So,
yeah.
I mean, why the hell not?
I mean, aside from Rally, isn't that what all the decks in Standard are right now? I mean, it's just, take the best decks and throw them into a 4-color monstrosity.
Honestly, this deck looks like it wants to have Bring the Lights in it. Yeah, I mean, really, like, come on, bring the light into Garbland Dark Dweller and to get something out of my graveyard.
Ooh.
Bring the light into Siege Rhino.
True. Chad, what bring do you think? Light? Is that?
yeah, that sounds. I mean, of course, I'm always about putting Bring the Light in any deck.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's exactly what Bob said. It just shoved in green because Siege Rhino is still in the format.
Good card.
It is a good card.
Yeah, so this is the deck I was talking about running Kolaghan's Command and Goblin Dark Dwellers in the same deck. So, yeah,
Makes sense.
Another fun looking deck. It's a good time to be playing Standard. I mean, unless you really hate the Rally matchup. But other than that, it's a good time to be in Standard right now.
Love the Rally matchup.
So, that's our top nine for the Star City Open this week. Did you guys see anything else in the rest of the 32 worth mentioning?
Well, let's see here.
Right at 32, unless Bob has one prior to that.
No, we'll do this one first because this is actually what I was looking at, Chad, so go for it.
So right at 32nd, we have Matt Spradlin playing a Teemer Black. Ooh. So let's run through the list really fast. We've got 18 creatures, 4 Radical Mystic, 4 Savage Knuckleblade. That hasn't seen play in some time. 4 Sylvan.
Did it ever really see play, though?
I think it did at one point when it was doing like an infinite combo or something. So... 4 Sylvan Advocate, which just makes the Savage Knuckleblade even more savage. 4 Woodland Wanderer, which is another card which I think is underplayed at the moment. 2 Tasker the Golden Fang. For Planeswalkers, it's got 2 Chandra Flamecaller and 1 Sarkhan the Dragonspeaker. Another card that hasn't been seen too much in the lands. We have 3 Lumbering Falls of note. And moving on to spells, we've got 3 Murderous Cut. 3 Stubborn Denial, 3 Wild Slash, 2 Crater's Claws, and 3 Painful Truths in the board. 2 Disdainful Stroke, 2 Dispel, 2 Dragonlord Kolaghan. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
2 Duress, 3 Radiant Flames, 2 Roast, and 2 Transgress the Mind. I don't know. It's just a deck that I think enjoys every color that it has in it. And, like, it can defend itself with Stubborn Denial, and with all the creatures on the floor, it can just run people over.
And, you know, every con or every clan from Khans of Tarkir has had a fourth color splash lately. And
yes.
Why not Teemer Black too, you know?
Well, Teemer's always had this issue of, like, once you hit the Savage Knuckleblade slot, there's nothing else. You know what I mean? Like, so some people will play, some people, who's the guy who was the con of Teemer?
Surak, right?
Surak, yeah. Some people play the green Surak, but still, that's not, you know, it's still a 4/4. You know,
yeah.
5/4.
And he was no Siege Rhino. Like, he costs like 1 or 2 more mana. Yeah. And
Sarkhan's great, except that, you know, it can't really protect itself very well. Yeah. So Chandra kind of gives it that topper, you know, like it gives it something that, you know, gives you a lot of options, which is unfortunately something Teemer has lacked for a long time. It's kind of like play your creatures, protect them, and play bigger creatures than your opponent faster than your opponent.
Yeah.
Once Siege Rhino lands, Teemer has some real issues.
Yeah, the problem with Teemer, it's always been, it always tries to play a tempo game with landing something like Savage Knuckleblade and then sitting on a Stubborn Denial or something. But when you're playing decks like Abzan, they just keep slamming Siege Rhinos, and you can just never catch up at that point. And it's why Teemer, of the 5 clans from Khans, was by far the least played, the least successful out of all of them. So, but it never goes away completely. You'll always see a little bit here and there. Bob, you said you saw something you wanted to talk about?
Well, I did see the Teemer list. Not so much something that I wanted to talk about, but if you look, and I haven't done the math, but if you just look at the top 32, there are a lot of red-black dragons in the top 32.
I noticed that, yeah. There's more than you would think that you'd see.
I mean, that is a deck that's here to stay. We also have in 17th place a UR Prowess, and this is an interesting list only because it looks like it's a lot more streamlined than some of the ones I saw last week.
Yeah.
It's just 4 Abbot of Carol Keeps, 4 Monastery Swift Sphere, 4 Storm Chaser Mage, 4 Jaces, a Dispel, an Expedite, 4 Fire Impulses, 3 Teemer Batter Age, 4 Titan Strength, a Magmatic Insight, 2 Roast, 4 Slip Through Space, 4 Treasure Cruise, and 20 Lands.
Yeah, so, 4 Treasure Cruise this time.
Yeah, well, you fill your yard up pretty damn fast. So, I mean, but this list looks very streamlined. You know, they finally figured out that this is what the deck wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
All it wants to do is cast creatures with prowess and keep casting its spells. You know, I And I don't know. I just think that this is a much, much better list. And the addition of Battle Rage, which a lot of lists weren't running.
Yeah. And this is another one of those lists that, aside from Monastery Swift Spear, it doesn't lose a whole lot at rotation, right?
Yeah, but Swift Spear is a pretty integral part of this list.
True, true.
You want that turn one play. I mean, you want to put your opponent on the back foot from the get go.
Okay, fair enough. So
it loses Treasure Cruise too. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's right. Play Treasure Cruise now, guys, because unless you play Vintage, you're not playing it again after April
or Casual.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much it for the Star City Open. I had a couple of interesting facts that I pulled out or that I kind of, found as I was looking through these lists. First, 18 copies of Reflector Mage in the top eight. So is Reflector Mage just the best card in Oath? Is that kind of what you're telling me here?
I don't know about that, but it's a damn good card.
I'd say it's the best uncommon. No question.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's really good now because if you look at a lot of these decks, okay, so you have Four Color Rally, then you have Abzan, you have Jeskai, and they're playing one creature a turn. It's a abysmal card against token decks. It does nothing against token decks.
Yeah, especially if those tokens fly.
Yeah, but there aren't a lot of those running around. And you know the other thing there aren't a lot of running around? Eldrazi lists right now. Bouncing something that gets a cash trigger is pretty bad.
Yeah. But bounce your Ulamog? Oh, okay, thanks.
I don't even mean that. I mean, like, you know, bounce your Thought Not Seer, bounce your Wasteland Strangler. Like, yeah, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yep.
We'll bounce him.
On Thought Not Seer, though, and I saw this a couple times today, you're still getting that draw card. So there is that work.
Oh, no question. And I bounced a couple last week, and it wasn't horrible. You know, it was like, well, I draw a card, so that's something at least. You know.
All right. So something else that I noticed: no green ramp decks in the entire top 32. No green red. No mono green. Nothing.
Format's too fast.
Yeah. So I mean, do you think it's just the prevalence of like decks like Rally, Jeskai, Atarka Red?
A lot of this could have had to do with the location as well. A lot of, like, we know that a lot of people up north play Control. It could be a lot of people in Columbus play more along the lines of Dragons or Rally.
Okay.
Well, if you look at last week, one of the most best performing decks was the ramp deck, that mono green ramp deck.
Yeah, they made second.
Yeah.
Last week.
And the red-green ramp deck went undefeated on day one. So, I mean, I don't know. I more think, like, people haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
Makes sense.
And then metagames adjust, too. Like, if one deck is successful this week, you're going to see a lot more hate for it next week.
I've heard some people say, oh, it beats Rally. No, I can categorically tell you that's not the case.
Yeah, in my history of playing the deck, I've barely ever beaten Rally, unless I just got lucky or they got unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, look, any deck can beat any deck. You know, if your opponent gets a bad draw, gets stuck on a couple of lands or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is still a card game. There's still variants. There's still
yeah.
All right. So on that same note, no Esper Dragons or any kind of Esper Control in the top 32.
People are going to have to get a better idea of how to build Control, because your standard Esper Control, it's not happening.
Yep.
Someone's going to have to come at it from another angle.
Yep. And then one other thing I had of note here. Well, I guess besides that black-white control on the top eight, no black-based Eldrazi lists. Because, you know, last week we saw the couple black Eldrazi aggro-y lists that were, you know, kind of aggro slash mid-range. Not like the ramp decks, but none of those this week either.
I still think people are figuring that deck out. I mean, that's a wildly new archetype. It's an archetype we've never had before. You know, Abzan's an old archetype. It gets upgrades when every set comes out, but it's still Abzan. It's still one drop or two tap land, two drop, three drop, four drop, five drop. That's what the deck wants to do. Whereas the Eldrazi deck, you know, query as to whether there is an Eldrazi deck or whether pieces of it belong in other decks, you know. But if there is one, I think you definitely see it after rotation. That's for damn sure.
Oh yeah.
But I just think it's, people haven't cracked it yet.
Okay, fair enough. So I think that's it. That's all we have for the Star City Open. Moving on, that was the last Star City Standard Open that we're going to see until March 19th and 20th. I mean, they'll still do their classic tournaments on those weekends, but as far as Star City Opens, we're not going to get much more before Shadows Over Innistrad, just the one late March. And by then, by March 19th and 20th, we may have the full Shadows Over Innistrad spoiler at that point. And I don't know if we're even going to care about Standard at that point or care about the current Standard, honestly.
So we also have of note that the pre-release for MTGO was all this weekend, so there's going to be a lot more Standard happening there that we can check out as well.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely have to start getting back into pulling deck lists from, especially now that the leagues are going. The leagues are in full swing. They seem to be very popular.
Are they posting those?
Yeah, yeah, they post winning deck lists on the leagues every week.
Awesome.
And then it's, as far as other upcoming Standard events, we've got two Grand Prix coming up. We've got Houston the last weekend of February, and Bob, you were talking about going to that, weren't you?
Tickets already booked.
Oh, nice. Ooh, so nice. Bob will be playing at Grand Prix Houston on February 27th and 28th. So we'll definitely be interested to hear how that goes. And then the only other Standard Grand Prix is the same weekend as the Star City, which is in Paris, March 19th and 20th. Again, we'll be neck deep in Shadows Over Innistrad spoilers at that point, so I don't know how hype we can really get about those events. I mean, obviously, it'll still be some good competitive play, but yeah, it's not a whole lot going on, because again, a lot of the focus is on Modern, sadly.
Well, you know, it's the Modern Pro Tour.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also a the South, the Star City Regionals are also Modern.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And The one good thing, though, is that all of the PPTQs right now are either limited or standard. So I think most of the ones that they're doing up here are all standard. I think I saw one scheduled is a limited.
But for
Yeah, but for the most part, they're all standard PPTQs up here in the Northeast. So like I said at the beginning of the cast, I'm planning on going to as many as possible.
Yeah, plenty to get your feet wet if you're trying to build that standard deck.
Yep. So sure. I'm sure you, unless you're up in the Midwest, sorry, Ethan, you should have a ton of local events you can go to that, that are running like high quality standard events.
Yeah. You know what? And the thing is, this format is still so wide open.
Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with going to FNM and just testing a deck out and getting wrecked with it, because that's the way that you learn, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my plan for this Friday for RFNM. Yep. I will probably, unless I can't get a deck together this week because of work, I will probably not be playing Rally.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Interesting. And you know, if you don't experiment, then you don't get your, mono white enchantments deck list read on the air. So
that is correct.
And speaking of which, if any listeners have any deck lists that they would like to submit, you can submit them to us on either the Facebook group, or we've also got an email. It's in the show notes. You can email it to us. Or I guess you could hit us up on Twitter, but there's not enough characters there. Yeah, don't do it on Twitter. Either email it to us or send it to us on Facebook. And then we're going to try and get into reading more listener deck lists over the next coming weeks. Bob, do we want to talk about our guest in 2 weeks, or do we want to
leave it as a surprise?
Keep that on the back burner for now.
Let's keep it on the back burner.
Okay, just fair enough.
Suffice it to say that you guys will not be disappointed whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a really good guest planned.
I can't wait to have him come on, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts on the current Standard and where everything's going.
Yeah, should be a really good episode. We've got a lot of good stuff planned for that one. So, moving on to final thoughts, I just want to give a quick shout-out to good friend of mine. I met him through the Facebook group. Really, really cool dude, Christopher Jason Murphy. Unlike me, he was actually able to close out a PPTQ over the weekend. So good luck at your regionals, buddy. Hope to see you on the Pro Tour. Other than that, you can always follow me at Roskam76 on Twitter, and also check out my other podcast, Project VCR. Haven't posted a new episode in a couple of weeks because I've been busy trying to play Magic. So I've got another episode ready to go. I just need to finish editing it and posting it. So keep an eye out on that. But go back and listen to all the episodes because it's really good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Final thoughts for me are I'm going to start to play now that MTGO has opened up the vaults for Oath. I'm going to start playing some of that. So look to see some videos being posted, and hopefully I can make Bring the Light happen like Joe Lissette did.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. And you need to make some YouTube videos too. So.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, Bob, any final thoughts?
Nope. I will be buried knee deep in Modern until Saturday. So I'm trying to figure out really what Modern deck I want to play and what Modern deck I absolutely don't want to play. I think I've at least figured those ones out.
All right. Well, that's a start at least, right?
Yeah. definitely a start.
All right, very good. And always go check out Gamers Vault if you're anywhere in the South Jersey area. It's a fantastic store, and I just want to say, I played at a store that was not Gamers Vault this last weekend, and I had a miserable time as far as, like, space and the crowd there and everything else. I only ever want to play at Gamers Vault if I can help it.
We only want you to play there either.
I know. So, but again, you guys weren't running a PPTQ this weekend, and this other place was.
No,
so.
No, we weren't.
Did what I had to do, but I'll be back this week for sure. And we need to get the Monday Night League rolling again too. Like, we need to get deck lists from the winners on the Monday Night.
That can be done
because I'm playing tomorrow night, so
I'll be playing tomorrow night as well.
All right, then I'll see you there. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. And again, follow us on Twitch, follow us on Facebook, check out our podcast hosting channel. Because again, we go live on there before we go live on MTGcast. So take a look at that. And if you guys don't have anything else, we'll just see you later.
Later.
See you guys.
We'll be back.